Our brother Jeff will now exhort us.
Good morning. I'd like to begin just with a couple of verses out of Nehemiah, and then we'll get into Thessalonians readings. From Nehemiah 7, we have a list of exiles who returned from exile to Jerusalem and back to Israel. And the ones I'd like to look at, two verses I'd like to look at in particular, verse 64 and 65 of chapter 7 of Nehemiah. And it says, "These searched for their family records, but they could not find them, and so were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. The governor therefore ordered them not to eat any of the most sacred food until there should be a priest ministering with a Urim and Thummim." So we have a number of exiles returning from Babylon who claim they were descendants of Israel, but they couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove that they were Israelites. They couldn't prove that they were the lineage of the priesthood. They didn't have their family records. And so they were excluded. They were unclean. Excluded from the priesthood because they couldn't prove their roots. And so the law condemned them. It excluded them. And it wasn't because the law was bad, but because they couldn't live up to it. They couldn't prove their roots, so they were excluded. And what a contrast that is with grace and mercy. That despite the fact that we deserve death, we gather here today with hope. And despite the condemnation of the law that shows us what we deserve, we have hope of forgiveness and life eternal. And so, surely we have something to be thankful for. And Brother Gordon opened and closed his prayer in thanks this morning. So if we have nothing else in a single day to be thankful for, and I'd be rather surprised if we couldn't think of a single thing during a day that we couldn't be thankful for, this is something. Eternal life. Hope. So, in other words, I guess I'm saying that we always have at least one thing to be thankful for in a day. And yet, we're not always thankful. Even when we say it, sometimes. I mean, so we might hear a prayer and not really listen. We might even say a prayer of thanks and not really mean it. Here's a prayer that we might have made ourselves, and perhaps this wouldn't be word for word, but and the source of the prayer isn't really important, but to illustrate the principle, we might pray, "Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for everything. Now as for the things I especially want, they would be too numerous to mention, so I'll just mention the most important ones." Sometimes we don't spend enough time thinking about each individual thing that we have to be thankful for. And everything is such a big word. It covers everything. It's such a blanket thanks. It's so easy to say and not really think about. But in our thoughts, at the very least, we need to be thinking of the individual things that we are thankful for. And those should be the things too numerous to mention. And the things we want much less so. So now let's move over to Thessalonians. And we'll be in 1 Thessalonians 5, going in at verse 16. Since we may not have the capacity to think of all the individual things that we should be thankful for, in other words, when we come to God in prayer, we don't always have the list handy. But Paul gives us some practical advice. Rather than having to mention every single thing that we're thankful for in a single prayer, Paul's advice is much more real and practical when he says in verse 16, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul talks about giving thanks always. And this isn't just one isolated verse that Paul mentions to the Thessalonians. We have in Ephesians 5, verse 20, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In Colossians, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God." Back in the Psalms, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." When we're constantly giving thanks in this way, then it also implies that we understand what we're giving thanks for. If we think about the individual things that we're thankful for, and why we're thankful for them, then we must have first understood how we are so very thankful and how it is that God is involved. And I'm just gonna bring us to consider thanking God for meals. This is something we do regularly, 3 times a day. I don't know, I guess it depends how many meals you have during the day. Sometimes I have 1 or 2. Consider why we give thanks to God for our food before we sit down to a meal. Why don't we thank God every time we take a drink of water? I mean, we pour ourselves a glass of water out of the tap and drink it, and we don't sit down and say a prayer. It's funny, but let's step back a bit and take a look at the big picture here. What is the principle? When we give thanks for the food that we have before us, is it because God sent an angel and gave us a plate of food? Well, no. We went and bought it from the store, likely. We prepared it. So when we give thanks to God for the food, are we thanking him for our job because we have money so that we can buy the food, so we can prepare it, so we can eat it and survive? Is that what we're thanking God for when we thank him for a meal? Well, we should be thankful for all of these things. But why before each meal? And I'd suggest that thanking God for our meals is a discipline that helps us to put our lives in perspective, that should help us to think about where we stand before God. Thanking God makes us step back and think about our real dependency on him. As Gordon mentioned in his prayer, for our very lives. Because we believe that he created us and sustains us as mortal beings. So when we come back to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." it benefits us to refresh ourselves with this kind of perspective when we're about to eat a meal. How much more so if we're giving thanks in all circumstances? If we're always making ourselves aware of the things that we can be thankful for, not just before our meal, but throughout the day. The preceding verse says, pray continually. Well, if we're always in the frame of mind that's concerned with what can I be thankful for, what has God done for me, then we are effectively praying continually. If we're always giving thanks, if we're always counting our blessings, if we're always conscious of what God has given us, then we've accomplished pray continually. So praying here doesn't imply a specific formula that I have to utter these words in order to come before God. It means that we are communicating with him, if we are always thankful to him. And then this affects us to be joyful always, because if we're thankful continually, then we're praying continually, then we're going to be happier people. So being thankful can change our whole outlook on life. It can make us generally more positive people. And this is obviously advice for myself too. It can keep us from complaining, which is something that is so easy to fall into. It's much easier for us to find the things that we don't like rather than search for things that we appreciate. But adopting this attitude helps us keep ourselves from complaining. And it's a practical method. And it leaves no room for complaint. So it's certainly something to aspire to. It keeps us in communication with God. It shapes us and it molds our characters. It will change our outlook on life. So again, if we think we have nothing else in our day to be thankful for, to the contrary, we have everything. Because in 2 Thessalonians, chapters 1 and 2, we have a number of verses with very important reasons to be thankful. And I'm just going to walk through a few of them. 1 verse 7, God will give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. When will this happen? Well, it's the ultimate relief that he's talking about, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. 2:14, he called you to this belief in the truth through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus lives forever. Chapter 2, again, verse 13. Salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Eternal encouragement. That's life, eternal. That's our encouragement and that's our hope. And he gives it to us by his grace. From our reading in Joel 2, just two verses out of that chapter, verses 13 and 14, say, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Now we started talking started off talking about the unclean priests who were excluded in Nehemiah because they couldn't prove their roots. We aren't those unclean priests anymore, because in God's grace, he sent his son. We are sons and daughters of Abraham and heirs according to the promise through Jesus Christ our Lord, Galatians 3. These two verses in Joel illustrate forgiveness, grace and compassion. Not to everyone, but to those who are sincere and to those who have believed. And so verse 14, which says, who knows, he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. What is that saying? Well, it's this grain offering and drink offering were an essential part of worship. Basically, we're talking about thank offerings. And grain offerings were an essential part of the fellowship offering as well, not to mention the burnt offering. And the fellowship offering was an offering of thanks as well. And we can read about this in Leviticus 7. Leviticus 7:11 says, these are the regulations for the fellowship offering a person may present to the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with his thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread. And this is how the grain offering was part of the fellowship offering, the grain or meal offering. The grain and meal offerings were basically thank offerings. They symbolized prayers to God. They were to be seasoned with salt. Leviticus 2, Leviticus 6. Both record everything about the grain and meal offerings. And they were voluntary. They were voluntary, and it was a recognition of God's goodness, his provision. It was an act of devotion. So when we are thankful, we're offering our grain offering to God. We're offering our prayers that go up to him as a sweet-smelling savor. We often say that. But let's think about it. Let's think about it. Linking the thank offering prayer and with prayer is also Psalm 116, verse 17, which says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. You know, the people in the wilderness, the people of Israel, had manna. And they should have been thankful for it. And we think about Israel and we think, well, yeah, they sure messed up there. They had the Red Sea parting and they had the pillar of fire by night. They had the pillar of cloud by day to guide them. How could they have missed giving thanks for the manna? Instead of being thankful for the manna that they were given, it was a source of complaint. It was a source of grumbling. And when they were given, what's that bird called? I was thinking chickens, but it wasn't chickens. Quail, thank you very much. When they were given quail, they weren't thankful for the quail either. It was a source of complaint and grumbling. And when you really think about it, you think, well, yeah, the same meal day after 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 day. I might grumble a little too. But so it became a stumbling block. Something they should have been thankful for, something that sustained them, was a stumbling block. And so all the more reason for us to remember why we're thankful. To think about the reasoning behind our thankfulness for each of the things we thank God for. And if we're not thankful, then we shouldn't thank him. We have to be thankful. Let's not turn around and figure that it's our right to receive these things. As the people of Israel thought, well, we've got manna, we should get all these other things too. We want everything we had in Egypt. We deserve it. And so the things that we take for granted, as we start to take things for granted, we can think we deserve more. When, as we mentioned starting off, we only deserve death. And so rather, let us recognize the blessings that we undeservedly receive. Jesus is our bread from heaven. And we should be so very thankful for him. May he not be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense for us, as the manna was for the people in the wilderness. Rather, let us thank our God for his redeeming work as we share this meal together.